Good morning, happy Sabbath to everyone. Thank you. Hope everyone is so far had a blessed Sabbath. We just spoke in our youth lesson how music has so much power, and it was so nice to hear the music instruments. And I just imagine how things will be in heaven, where the angels will come together, and I start to get. Goosebumps about it. When you just think how the music is going to be here in heaven, where God's going to be there and we can praise and worship Him. I look forward to that day. I hope everyone else is too. And yeah, so God bless us every year with another year. And I just want to say, yeah, we had pastor at a birthday. We had one of our youth as well, Lewis. So I just want to say happy birthday to you. He's a day older today from yesterday. So his birthday was on the 1st of April. So, okay, let's bow our heads and we'll say a prayer and we can go into our study. Our Father who is in heaven, thank you that we can come together and we can look through this week. You've guided us. And as we hold onto your hand, we ask you to lead us. As we come this morning, we want you to touch our hearts. Open our ears, open our eyes so we can hear. Or we ask that you be with us this morning. Touch my lips as well. Let it be your words, not my words. And calm me down and ask that you be with me as we pray. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So I thought about it, and to me I read a summary of what Jesus said is going to happen in the end time. And my question is, Jesus is coming, is it a future event? Well, I tend to believe we always think about Jesus is coming. But what about Jesus is coming? There's a difference. And I want to explore that a bit today, where we look at what does it mean to you and to me? So we can open up to Matthew chapter 24, and just a couple of verses further where to me I just read, and we'll see in verse 37 to 39. And it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, until that day Noah entered into the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." So how will the days be just before the coming? As the days of Noah will be eating and drinking, marrying, just carry on with life, be as normal. If we turn to 1 Thessalonians, that's the other verse I've got on there, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1 to 6, and it says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overcome you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." So why is it being compared to as a thief in the night, the second coming? A surprise, yes. But why is it a surprise? It says, you are not in darkness. Why are we not in darkness? Because we are warned. If you are in darkness, it will be as a thief in the night. So just like Noah, we know there's a destruction coming. But should it be a surprise to us? Could the current events be a fulfilling of Matthew 24 we are experiencing in the world around us at the moment? I don't know if you've started looking around and seeing all these things happening. I just went through and I started from somewhere in 2019. And I just took a couple of events, highlighted a few world events that's happening. So we had a tropical cyclone. We had catastrophic river flooding happening. There was in April 2019, there was the big tornadoes that came through. There was a cyclone, big cyclone 2019, 3rd of May. There was another tornado outbreak in May. There was the hurricane in September. We had our own bushfires. This happened here in our backyard in September and followed closely by the California wildfires. There was the tropical storm in November. There was the Amazon fires. Then we had another round of tornadoes happening in 2020. There was flooding. There was the monsoon floods in July. There was the explosion in August. Then there was in the Philippines, there was a super typhoon, Goni, known as Roly in the Philippines, killed at least 20 people and displaced 400 people when it made landfall three separate times across the Philippines on November 1. Goni affected 2 million people and made the record books, becoming the strongest landfalling tropical cyclone on record in the Philippines. So we had a record happening there. There was the Decagon as well. We had the Vietnamese floods, Cambodian floods. There was the hurricanes. There was another one. It says the 2020 Atlantic hurricane season was one for the record books before it even officially started. Researchers and meteorologists began calling for an above-average season in a prediction from University College London on December 19, 2019, shortly after the end of the 2019 season. We had earthquakes in Peru as well, or Puerto Rico, experienced an unprecedented series of ongoing earthquake swarms, with more than 9,000 earthquakes since December 2019 in Ponce region of southern Puerto Rico. These include the strongest earthquakes in Puerto Rico in over a century. The director of Puerto Rico's seismic network said he had never seen anything like this in his 29 years of the organization. We had earthquakes in Indonesia. We had winter storms over in February. Then we had, again, in our own backyard, Australian flooding last year in March. There was the volcano eruption. There was another cyclone over in Western Australia. There was the cyclone over in North Indian Ocean. Western Europe had major flooding. It says major storm systems stalled over Western Europe on July 14 to 15, leading to record-setting rain over the Belgium, Germany, Luxembourg, Switzerland, France, and the Netherlands. Some parts of Germany received the equivalent of normal 2 months of rain in 24 to 48 hours, which caused rivers to overbank or overtop their banks, flashed flooding through the communities and left hundreds of people injured, missing or dead. The storm system dumped 40 gallons of water per 10 square feet. That's 148 liters of water per square meter in just 48 hours, almost double the usual rainfall for a month. The sheer scale of the flooding shocked the climate scientists worldwide as they draw direct links between the incident of human-caused climate change. We had flooding and typhoons in China. There was a lot of wildfires, international wildfires that made record-breaking heat. There was the earthquake and storms over Greece. There was the 21 season, last year, the Atlantic hurricane season was expected to be another above average hurricane season. And it was another record-breaking year that surpassed all expectations. There was the Afghan humanitarian crisis, floods in Sri Lanka. There was the Indonesia, there was the Yemen crisis as well, tornado outbreaks, and the list just goes on. There was, it's another, the volcanic, I thought that was interesting as well, where the bottom part says, prior to the eruption, the volcanic islands was composed of two older islands and had been linked into one by the land formed in 2015. The eruption destroyed all the new land along with much of the older two islands. And doesn't it say islands will disappear? I thought it was just interesting when I read that. There was the refugee crisis. There's the Venezuela crisis that's happening over there. There's another typhoon that just recently in January happened. We had another time, North America wildfires that had big consequences over happening. Brazil, Australian flooding once again, just recently, just a few weeks back, and I want to say just a few days back again, that happened. Argentina wildfires happened, and then we've got a current crisis in Ukraine happening at the moment as well with the war. So I just thought there's a lot of things happening worldwide at the moment. It just feels to me, I don't know about you guys, but if I look at just an Australian events, we had a flooding about a year ago. We had the bushfires not long ago. We had the recent flooding. Now they're talking about some kind of virus with the mosquitoes coming through and causing another problem. It just feels to me a lot of things, and it's not small events, it's big events happening one after the other, after the other, after the other. But, and then we had increase in the past 50 years. So they say a disaster related to a weather, climate, or water hazard occurred every day on average over the past 50 years, killing 115 people and caused $202 million in losses daily, according to a comprehensive new report from the World Meteorological Organization. The number of disasters has increased by a factor of 5 over the 50-year period, and it's driven by climate change, more extreme weather, and improved reporting. But thanks to the improved early warnings and disaster management, the number of deaths decreased almost threefold. So even though these things are happening, peace and safety. We don't have to worry. We've got systems in place. We are being warned, and the death rates are going down. For 40 years, did the unbelief, murmuring, and rebellion shut out ancient Israel from the land of Canaan. The same sins have delayed the entrance of modern Israel into the heavenly Canaan. In neither cases were the promise of God at fault. It is the unbelief, the worldliness, unconsecration, and strife among the Lord's professed people that have kept us in a world of sin and sorrow for so many years. I truly believe Jesus could have come already. It is because of our unbelief, not completing the appointed work, that we are still in the wilderness. I believe we were in front of the promised land, just like Israel, we're in front of Canaan in the late 1800s. But they looked at the walls and they thought, the walls are too high. They looked at the people, they thought they were too strong. It was their unbelief that kept him out. The Canaanites believed that they would be destroyed, but the Israelites did not believe. It's our unbelief that's taking. And are we in front of the promised land again? Are we getting to that point again after a 40-year wilderness wander? So now, before the coming of the Son of Man, the everlasting gospel is to be preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, according to Revelation. God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in Acts 17. Christ tells us when that day shall be ushered in. He does not say that all the world will be converted, but the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. By giving the gospel to the world, it is our power to hasten our Lord's return. We are not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of the day of God. 2 Peter 3 verse 12. He had the church of Christ done her appointed work as the Lord ordained. The whole world would be before this have been warned, and the Lord Jesus would have come to our earth in power and great glory. If we have done the work, Jesus would have come. Could we be wandering in a desert just like the Israelites did? There was Noah who preached away before the flood. But it was not until he completed the work that a flood came. Did the people listen? We had Moses that prepared a way from Egypt. Did the people listen? There was John the Baptist who preached the way for Jesus' coming. Did the people listen? We had a prophet warning us about the second coming. Are we any different today? I think we do have a hard time listening. We struggle to listen. I'm sure we all want Jesus to come. But the question I have, am I ready for Jesus to come? It's one thing to know and think about it, but am I ready? Am I ready to face that day? Am I ready to go home? I believe the final events will be rapid ones. Just like Lot. How much time did Lot have? He did not have much time. He had to flee right away. We saw just in recent events in the world how quick things can change. How quick laws can be changed. How quick they've shut our churches. How quick they've locked us in our homes. Things can happen quick. If there's one thing I learned is how quick the Sunday laws or the final events will be placed and set in place and rolled out. How a certain group can be blamed for certain events. We need to be ready. And we need to be ready now. It will be too late when these events start to happen. Just like with Noah and the ark. They did not believe it. Only when the rain started to fall, then they believed. And it was too late. Let's look at Matthew 25. So Matthew 25 is the parable of the 10 virgins. In Matthew 25, 1-13 says, "And at the time, the kingdom of heaven will be likened, will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. Just note, they both had oil. They both had their lamps, but some had extra. The bridegroom was long, or the wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy, and they fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." When these events starting to happen, it's going to be too late. The door will be shut. What do I need to do to inherit the eternal kingdom? God asked Noah to build an ark. What is God asking you to do? Someone asked this question, and if we go to Luke chapter 10, we find a young lawyer asking Jesus a question. Luke 10 verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" What did Jesus answer him? Verse 26, "He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?'" In verse 27, what did the lawyer answer? And he answered, saying, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself." Was the lawyer right? Did he give the right answer? Verse 28, "And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live.'" So he answered correct. What happened next in verse 29? The lawyer came back and he asked another question. "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor?'" He wanted to know who his neighbor was. Is there a difference who your neighbor is and who your brother is? Do you think there's a difference? Your brother is in church, your neighbor is not. Let's look at what the answer Jesus gave. In verse 30, "And Jesus answered said," and he started with a parable, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him from his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." So this was a certain man. It was not a brother. It was not a neighbor. It was any man. He went up or down? He went down. And he went down to Jericho. And in Joshua 6:26, Jericho was actually a cursed city. So he was going down, because you always went up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is on a hill. You always went up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a holy place, a place of worship. When we go to God, we go up. We don't go down. And he fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Have we come from up high and went down? Were we robbed? Were we robbed of eternal life? Stripped from our garments? Have we been stripped from the rope of Christ's righteousness? Because we are sin, we are wounded. We are wounded to death. Now we are walking naked, wounded, stripped from righteousness, among the thieves, half dead. Verse 31, Jesus continued, and he said, by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Do we sometimes think we have arrived? Or are we actually going like the priest, going down? The priest wasn't going up. The priest was going down. And likewise, in verse 32, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. How we treat people, that's an indication on, are we going up or are we going down? How we treat others. In verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. A Samaritan. That was one of the worst things to call someone. One of the worst things to say to someone that you are a Samaritan. He was the lowest, was considered to be the lowest of the lowest. Was he going up or was he going down? What did it say? He was on a journey. He wasn't going up, he wasn't going down, he was on a mission. And that's where he met him during he was on his mission. Did the priest or the Levite have compassion? No, but he did. And verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. What did the Samaritan do? He bound up his wounds with what? Oil and wine. What does the oil represent? Holy Spirit. What does the wine represent? The blood of Christ. The gospel. We can see that in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, if you want to look it up. The healing balm brought him closer to God through the Holy Spirit and the Word. And he set him on his own animal. Christ picked us up. And it made me think about that famous story about the guy that looked when he was walking on the sand and he looked back and he saw one row of footprints, and he asked God, where were you? And God said, I carried you. So he picked him up on his own beast, on his own implements, and he walked next to him. Where did he take him? He took him to an inn. What do you do at an inn? It's a place where you eat and drink and marry. This inn was not a place where you can just get a drink or something to eat. It was a place where you can get better. It was a hospital. It was a church. It's a home where a person can be cared for, can be given bread and wound care. We take them to church. How do we take someone to church? On our own beast, on our own implements, whatever you have. Could be your car. Even if we need to walk besides them, we bring them to church. The Lord said, I took him to my church, and he said to them, take care of him. This man is wounded. Who comes to church? Is it the wounded? How do we treat the wounded? Do we treat them like the priest and the Levite? Have no compassion and just walk by? Or like the Samaritan? Where did the Lord go and look for these people? On the highways and byways, because that's where the wounded are. Not in here. It's out there. We need to bring them in. And verse 35, and on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto them, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Interesting that 2 pence or 1 pen equals a day's wages. And we saw that, we can see that in Matthew 20 verse 2 with the vineyard story, with the laborers that were given 1 pence for their day's work. God has provided means to the church to look after the wounded. He gave them 2 days of wages. Could it be that one day, like in prophecy, is 1,000 years? He's given the church 2,000 years to look after the wounded. Could we be at that end where Jesus is going to come again? He said to them, take care until I come again. When is he coming again? Is that the second coming? And he departed and he come again. And he says, if I come again, I will repay you when I come again. How? I will give you crowns of everlasting life. In Revelation 2 verse 10, it says, fear none of those things which thou hast suffered. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that he may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But thou faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life. He will repay. He will give us a crown of life. It says, the cities are to be worked. A season of great trial is set before us. Then let none lift up the soul unto vanity. It becomes those who are striving for the crown of life to strive lawfully. All our capabilities and gifts are to be used in the work of saving perishing souls, thus winning others to become co-laborers with Christ. The knowledge and power that the Lord has given men and women will be largely increased as they work to build up his kingdom. Let us then cheerfully suffer something for Jesus' sake, crucifying self and be partakers of Christ's sufferings here, that we may be made partakers of him and his glory, and be crowned with glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. There's a reward when we work for Christ. Jesus is coming again. What was the lawyer's question? What must I do to be saved? Is that still the same question today? Is the answer still the same? Love God and love your neighbor. How do we love our neighbor? It is selflessness. Show mercy. Take care of them. Take care of their wounds. Bring them to the inn. Bring them to church. We need to be on a journey. We need to go out and seek those who are wounded. How do we treat them? We give them oil and wine. Do we show selflessness like the Samaritan? We need to treat others with oil and wine. We can see by the signs of this world that the end is close. Let us not get comfortable among the thieves, but let's get ready to go up. If there was ever a time when sacrifice should be made, it is tomorrow. Now, those who have money should undertake that now is the time to use it for God. Let not means be absorbed in multiple facilities where the work is already established. Do not add building to building where many interests are now centered. Use the means to establish centers in new fields. Thus, you may bring in souls who will act their part in producing. Think of our missions in foreign countries, some of them struggling to gain even a foothold. They are destitute of even the most meager facilities. Instead of adding to facilities already abundant, build up work in the destitute fields. Again and again, the Lord spoke in regard to this. His blessings cannot attend his people in disregarding his instructions. Practice economy in your homes. By many idols are cherished and worshipped. Put away your idols. Give up your selfish pleasures. Do not, I entreat you. Absorb means in embellishing your houses with its God's money and will require you again. Parents, for Christ's sake, do not use the Lord's money in pleasing the fancies of your children. Do not teach them to seek after the style and ostentation in order to gain influence in the world. Will this incline them to save the souls through whom Christ died? No, it will create envy, jealousy, evil somethings. Your children will be led to compete with the show and extravagance of the world and to spend the Lord's money for that which is not essential to health or happiness. We need to look at what we do, where our idols are. Jesus is coming again. The question is it a future event for you? Are we living as Jesus was to come soon? Would the lives of the disciples have been different if they knew the coming of Jesus was not going to be in their lifetime? Are our lives different because we think Jesus' coming is a future event? But like Joshua said in Joshua 24 verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers serve that we are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In conclusion, I want to ask, are we heading down or are we heading up? Have you asked the question for yourself, what must I do to be saved? Noah was asked to build an ark. Moses was asked to lead the Israelites. What's God calling you to do? Just like the Samaritan walking next to the road, seeking those who he can heal and bring to the end. Is Jesus' coming a future event for me? Or is it a reality that Jesus is coming soon? Just like we read, let us not be in darkness. Let it not be as a thief in the night, but let us seek him daily. Let us be ready so we don't get caught out. We see all these events that happened. As the world say, peace and safety. We should have our focus on Christ, knowing that he's coming soon. Are we going up or are we going down? Is Jesus' coming only a future event for me? I hope and pray that it's not. That you make the earnest call, like we just read. It is now the time. It is now, just like Joshua said, for this day, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.